you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And this morning it's worth a long reading, being the day of Pentecost. Because I really wanted to capture what happened, what actually happened. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So when they met together, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Again, they're still trapped in this thinking that, you know, it was going to be a physical kingdom, that when the Messiah would come, he would lead them in victory over all their enemies and throw out the Romans, etc. They still hadn't quite got it. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's not for us, it's not. I love that verse. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set. They had in their thinking a preconceived idea of how things should go. But actually the way that God was going was different. He wasn't actually setting up a physical kingdom, restoring Israel and making them the number one nation. That wasn't his plan. His plan was bigger than that. It was for the whole world. It was for anyone who would receive him as Lord and Savior would be welcome into the kingdom of God. Not this little physical kingdom that they're thinking about. And so often we can get trapped in our preconceived ideas as to the way things should go. Even when we pray sometimes, it's sometimes a preconceived idea. God must answer in this particular way, when actually God may answer in a different way, but it will be a better way. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, it then says, then they returned to Jerusalem with the hill, to the hill called the Mount of Olives, or from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. 120. 120. That's all they were. That's just like this. And yet we are here today because of them. Christendom exists because of them. But there's only 120. What made the difference? What made the difference? Brothers, the scriptures has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who had arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. They then drew lots to replace him, and the lot fell to Matthias. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, the 120. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit of with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Let me pause there. Now, last week, I was sharing some of the gems from conference, and you know how it related to us in the sense of what was on my heart and how it was confirmed in terms of the state of the nation, in terms of the emphasis on the kingdom of God that we need to be clear that we are kingdom people and we are living by his standards. We are living with him as our king. And we have to do that first and then display it to the world. They need to see something different. And so we need to be clear on what, on the message we're speaking and how we're living. And that was confirmed by us, General Superintendent, as he opened the conference. I just want to, for a few moments, turn to Danielle Strickland. Because after he had set the scene with that, the theme of the conference being commissioned, that sense of outward looking, that sense of going, that sense of fulfilling the commission that God, that Jesus had given. It was then confirmed in a number of different ways. And one was with Danielle Strickland. And she basically came from the angle with her talks of how can we live an alternative vision for today in the society in which we live. And she spoke on Acts 1 and Exodus 3 in her first talk. Basically, it was, how can we do that? How can we live that kind of life that draws people's attention to Christ? Simply, we need power. We need power. And she related the story of Moses in Exodus, related the story of Moses and the burning bush. And she said, you're all familiar with the burning bush? Yeah, you're all familiar with the burning bush. He was away, had been a prince of Egypt. He's now outcast. He's living away from Egypt. And he's a shepherd. And years pass by and he's forgotten all about that kind of stuff. And then he goes up to the mountain looking for sheep and he sees a bush on fire, which doesn't particularly doesn't particularly hold him. But as he keeps looking, he thinks, this bush should have been burnt up by now. And he keeps looking, and the bush doesn't burn up. It's not consumed. And it was the fact that it was not consumed that drew his attention, because this was out of the ordinary. She made the point that under Pharaoh, being brought up all those years from being a baby right through to manhood, all those years he'd seen power on display. He'd seen the power that Pharaoh had, absolute power. Whatever he said was done. And it was backed up with this glorious court, this glorious building program, these amazing pyramids, these amazing gold and these tributes brought in from other nations who were their vassals. Power was on display all the time, but power was very controlling. Power was do as I say. Power was absolute in the sense of it consumed. But this power that he was witnessing in this bush didn't consume. It was a power that actually ultimately would bring release and freedom. And that's the power of God. God can consume us, amen? But praise God, he loves us. And when he sends his fire, it is for another purpose, generally speaking, apart from the end of time when judgment comes. But when he sends his fire now, it is to release. It is to achieve a purpose. And so it's very important when we consider this, when it comes to Acts chapter 2. Because the fire came. And it didn't consume. It actually brought release. It actually brought something new. It brought freedom for those who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it also brought the message of the gospel with great power into the lives of those who listened. Moses' end result response was, what is that? What is this about this bush? What is this about this fire that doesn't consume? And the one word that came out was holy. Take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. Holy means different. Its basic meaning is different. God is holy. He's different from the rest of us. Amen? Now, when we become Christians, when we receive Christ into our lives, we are sanctified. We are made holy. We are set apart, which is another meaning for holy, set apart for him, which means by implications we are called to be different as he is different. We are not of the same standards and substance of the world anymore. We are designed for communion and fellowship with the one who is holy. What is this? What is this power that doesn't consume but brings freedom? It's God. The presence of God amongst us. And that is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in power in our lives. It makes us different. He makes us different. And we can achieve and do things which we wouldn't normally be able to do. For example, the Bible says that we are overcomers. Amen? Now, the unfortunate thing about overcoming is it means that there's something bad that's happened. It means there's some difficulty that you're going through in order to demonstrate that you are an overcomer. You don't overcome if everything's fine. So that's the negative side of it, but the positive is that we are overcomers. And the way that we overcome is by the Spirit of God living in us. We need him. We need him and his releasing power. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and let me clarify what I mean by that, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ into our lives, we are born again by the work of the Spirit. He is the one who regenerates us. We are forgiven of sin through repentance and faith, receiving Christ. We come into a saving knowledge of him. We seal that commitment. We demonstrate our commitment to Christ through baptism. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it goes on to say about receiving the Holy Spirit. So we receive the person of the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. He lives in us and identifies us as belonging to Christ. But then there is an enduement of power that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, which we term the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's there in the scripture. An enduement of power which enables us. The word dunamos, it's dynamite. It's not just about an explosive kind of stuff. It also means enabling. And so God wants to enable us. He wants to enable you to be able to live the Christian life. Because Peter tells us God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. So we really need him. Or else we try and do it by our own efforts. And it's tiring. Amen. It's tiring if you're trying to live the Christian life with no help from God. It's difficult and it's basically unachievable. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have the power. Amen? And so when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about an enduement of power, which comes, and from all that we've seen in the scriptures, it can come at the new birth as well, but it can happen later on, because we have examples. For example, Acts chapter 19, with Paul on a couple of occasions where he's gone, and Philip in Samaria had a great time in Samaria. People got saved and they heard the gospel and they became Christians, followers of Jesus. But when Paul came along and others, Peter and others, and asked them the question, "Have you received the baptism?" No, we don't. We haven't even heard of it. What is it? And he prayed for them, and they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the outward signs usually were they spoke with tongues or they prophesied. It was visible in some way that they had been. Now, do you know the origin of the Quakers? Mr. Fox, the Quakers, how you see Quakers today is not how they were birthed. Quakers today is silence. And they will not say anything unless moved by the Spirit. So you just come into a hall like this, or in a circle or whatever. Silence. Until someone is moved by the Spirit. So we've got this idea of... But actually, their very name was... They were people of the Spirit. And it put them on the edge, because they visibly shook. They visibly quaked. And they got the name Quakers. Because of this baptism in the Spirit of God and being moved by the Spirit. And we need that power. When baptized, we received that kind of power. So, Paul, Acts chapter 19, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked then, what baptisms did you receive? John's baptism, we were disciples of John. They replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, but now let me give you the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with tongues. It was visible. Now, it's not a reward. It's not a reward for spirituality. That's not how it's described. It's a gift from God for all who believe. So potentially for all of us, it's a gift that we need. It's a gift from a loving God, and it's a gift that changes. Even in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 10:6, Saul, do you remember? It was prophesied to, and he said, and it was said, Saul, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you, and you're going to be changed into a different person. And those words came true. He was changed. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he began to prophesy. He'd never prophesied in his life. He began to prophesy, and the people said, wow, he's Saul now amongst the prophets as well, because visibly he was changed. How many folks need changing this morning? You know what that change is. It might be timidity, shyness, scaredness, fear. It could be all kinds of stuff. The kind of stuff that stops us speaking about Jesus. The kind of stuff that interferes with us being able to share freely the one who we love and serve. You've all got friends. You've all got family who boast about the latest nightclub, who boast about the latest stuff that they're involved with. They have no qualms about sharing something that they enjoy and stuff. And yet for some Christians, we find it difficult to boast about the Lord and about the good news. Because in what other way can you have sins forgiven? It's good news. And yet sometimes we don't give it. And it's because of our own natural inhibitions, our own natural difficulties. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we are filled with the Spirit, we have different priorities. He has different priorities in our lives. He says, Glenn, that person, share now. Yeah, speak. And somehow we have the power to do it. I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit in Sheffield in the town hall. And it was just in a worship service with lots of people from different churches. I was just with my hands raised, praising God. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was visibly just released. I was praising God. I was speaking with a different tongue, not my own. And I was just rejoicing and blessing the Lord. And the first thing that I wanted to do when I got back to Leeds was to share my faith with someone. Tell them how good Jesus is. And that is the primary purpose that is described in Acts about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, he also then releases gifts, he releases all these kind of stuff, all the gifts of the Spirit, the talents that we have. And the most difficult part of all is the fruit of the Spirit. To me, they're more difficult than the gifts of the Spirit. We all have gifts, and we all have gifts that God can give us, which are new. But the fruit of the Spirit is a different matter, because that means me changing. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, all of those good things. Self-control, we need that, don't we? Praise God. All those things are aided by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot say, I don't need you, Lord. I'm quite happy as a Christian, just as I am. The whole Pentecostal heritage is the fact that we need the Holy Spirit, and we recognize that. And we are open, both in our services, but also, more importantly, in our lives, to be moved by the Spirit of God. And not to let our own inhibitions get in the way. When God wants something done by the power of the Spirit, I'm his man. You're his man. You're his woman. For that moment, and you'll do it. We need the Holy Spirit. In her second talk, Danielle pursued this a little bit further, Acts 10 and Acts 16. We serve a God who has called us to be different. In Acts chapter 10, Peter had that vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, and in that sheet there was four-footed animals, there was reptiles, there was birds, and all of them were unclean foods as far as Jewish practice was concerned. They didn't engage with those kind of animals. It was there in the law. But as he saw this sheep, the Spirit of God said to him, kill and eat. And he said, no, Lord, this is unclean. Kill and eat. And it began to open him up to the fact that the gospel went beyond their restrictions. It went beyond their traditions. It went beyond what they were used to. It began to open them up, began to free them up to think less Jewishly and start to begin to think, what about the Gentiles? The gospel is not just for us, it's for them as well. And God's power will always confront the systems of the world and the attitudes that can exist in the world. And where the two cross, i.e., the world system, God's system, that's where the New Testament tells us, take up your cross. Because where the two meet, you've got a decision to make. Are you going to go God's way? Or are you going to go your own way, the way of the world, what you want to do? And that's what Jesus talks about. He says, take up your cross and follow me. God's power will always confront the powers of the world. The other illustration, which was a good one that she used, was to this being moved by the Spirit and to being open to the Spirit of God, was God's call to Paul, to the man of Macedonia. Now, Paul, great missionary, took the gospel out to different parts of the world, and he was traveling around Asia the majority of the time and going to different countries there. Then he thought it'd be good to go back and to some of the churches that had been planted. But then he was prevented from going to where he was thinking of going by a vision from the Lord. Spirit of God spoke to him and said, and it showed him a man from Macedonia, which is basically Europe. It's Greece. And that's where you're going to go. Praise God. He followed the Spirit's lead. Amen. And he broke his own schedule, his own plans, his own direction to go the way that the Spirit led. And when he went there, who was the first person that became a Christian? It was a woman. So in his head, the man from Macedonia. And he actually, it's a woman. It's a woman who becomes a Christian. The first church is planted in Philippi, Lydia, and she becomes key to the spreading of the gospel. And so again, his preconceived ideas and thoughts as to what this would mean, blown away, because the Jewish prayer is, Lord, every day, a devout Jew, Lord, thank you for that I'm not being born a sinner, nor a woman. So again, God breaks that down. And the man from Macedonia proves to be a woman. And the church in Europe starts. Amen. And so this is the beauty and the wonder of the Spirit of God living in us. And when we are moved by the power of the Spirit in our lives, open to the things of God. And this is the wonderful heritage that we have. The wonderful heritage that we have. And that we need to foster and develop and grow in. We don't always work. He doesn't always work by hard and fast principles. The only constant, therefore, that we need is to stay close to Jesus. Stay close to the Lord. His life was directed and dominated every step of the way by the Holy Spirit. That was what all the temptations was about by the devil. He was trying to make Jesus operate in his own strength because he knew who he was. He knew he could turn stones to bread. He knew he could jump off the top of that mountain and be caught. But Jesus always answered with the scripture. And if you read those passages, it was the Spirit of God that led him into the desert to be tempted. He lived by the Spirit. Why? Even though he had his own power, his own strength, it's because we would have to live by the Spirit. So the same Spirit that lives in Christ and raised him from the dead now lives in you. That means the same power that raised others from the dead, the same power that healed the sick, the same power that delivered from sin, the same power lives in you. Oh God, help us not to be a fire that is put out by the waters of this world. Because that's what happens. It's a deluge, is it not? The media, the news, the newspapers. Where is Jesus in all of that? There's no mention. There's nothing. Even the TV programs which purport to have a religious person, a Christian in it, their version of Christianity is nothing. It's nothing. It's not the truth. What the world needs to see is the truth. What it is to be a real Christian. Someone who loves and follows Jesus. And one who believes and has faith and confidence enough to bring Jesus into whatever situation. And so if somebody needs prayer, to pray for them. If somebody needs the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to be willing to pray for them and to believe that through us, God can do it. That only comes with practice. What's the old saying? Use it or lose it. And so I'm speaking to those of you who were baptized in the Holy Spirit years ago. What about now? Do you still speak with tongues? Do you still thirst after the things of God? The things that go beyond our schedules and our norms as Christians? Because there's so much more that God wants. And therefore, it's important that we foster that in our own spiritual life and we are open to the Spirit of God. And that's why, friends, I would love more than ever, I'm going to have to look at my watch because that clock stopped. More than ever for us to press into the Lord. Amen? To press into the Lord and to gain confidence in our own spirits, in the things of the Spirit. Now, how do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? If I've never had the experience, that endowment of power, how do I receive? Well, it is by faith. By faith, Galatians 3:14 tells us we receive the things of God. Believe is the first key thing. How many of you here believe that God has a gift of the Spirit of God for you? How many believe that? Yeah, be confident. It's time to start being confident. So, yeah, put your hand up there. So, belief is where it starts. Secondly, there is obedience. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. There is a yielding that needs to take place to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Amen? Be willing to yield this morning. Just say, Lord, I'm just letting it go. Whatever it is that I know to be wrong, whatever it is I know to be a crutch or that I've relied on, this morning, all I want is you. All I want is you. There's thirst as another key component. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not might be, shall be, will be. If you thirst and you hunger. Why should God hold back a gift that He wants all His believers to have? He doesn't actually. The blockage is me. The blockage is us. because we don't believe, or we're too overcome with our own shyness or emotions or whatever gets in the way, and therefore it stops us from just relaxing and receiving all that God has for us. And finally, ask. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this morning, let's ask. Let's ask. Let's ask the Lord. And so I'm going to ask the band just to come back as we draw to a close this morning. I'd like us to sing one of those songs, just gently. And I'd like us all to sing that song and then just be open to the Spirit. This morning, I really feel that not necessary to lay hands on people. But if that's what you need, then that's no problem at all. But God meets us where we are. I just know from my experience it was in an atmosphere of worship that I just let go and God came. Amen. Let go and God came. But on the other hand, there was an old lady who came across the aisle and held my hand while I was worshiping. And it was at that moment that I started speaking with tongues. I didn't know her from Adam. She just came across the aisle as I was praising and held my hand. So sometimes the agency of another human being, another believer, can help. Yeah? And so I'm going to ask Chris, Jill, others just to come. As we worship, just be here on the front row. Any of the elders who are free, come on the front row. And they'll be there. Anybody who wants prayer, to be prayed for, to come. But it might be that just where you are, as you begin to worship, that you meet with God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not something to fear, is it? Amen. Shall we stand? Shall we stand? Yeah. Which one shall we sing?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Behold. You know what your needs are this morning. And as we sing this song, it might be, yes, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit for healing. I need the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I might be a witness. I need the power of your Spirit just to help me, just be overcome my my timidity, my weakness, whatever it is. Let's just bring it to the Lord this morning, because he wants to bless us and he wants to give freedom. His power brings freedom and release rather than domination. Let's sing this song. And as we sing, ask. Ask. Really ask. And I know God won't let you down.
Father, the world that overflows.
happened when I relaxed and I was in a worship service somewhere else. God met with me. So don't be disappointed if nothing's happened for you this morning. Rather, seek the Lord. Rather, spend your time. And He will meet with you in your time. So Father, dismiss us with your blessing, we pray. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday, when the birth of the church is celebrated, when the coming of the Holy Spirit in power, our enabler. Oh God, dismiss us with your blessing, and we pray, I pray, give us divine appointments with individuals, with groups, whether it be at work, whether it be in neighbors. Just give us divine appointments, Lord, where we can begin to sense the Spirit's leading in our life. And give us the courage to obey. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.